Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
My next guest spent 6 years locked up in McGilligan Prison in Northern Ireland, and instead of just counting down the days and the weeks and the months, the second time he decided to do something a bit different. Stephen Greer is on the line. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks for asking.
Good.
Stephen, thanks for doing this. You're really interesting life you've had. Can you first tell me a little bit about your life before you went into prison?
I've started off just a normal childhood, really, to be honest. And then grew up, and then when I went to secondary school, sort of started meeting different people whose families might have been a wee bit more different from the place where I grew up. So, and school and stuff like that. And I think it was in about fifth year, I started smoking cannabis. Yeah. And then there's a mate of mine actually says, why don't you just get like an ounce and then cut it up and sell a wee bit, and then you get your own smoke. So from there, just sort of escalated and then just get deeper and deeper. Once I left school, get deeper and deeper involved in the drug scene sort of thing. And then just like low level, very, very low level just at that time. And then as the years went on, just got deeper and
Stephen,
deeper.
Sorry, so in fifth year, you started smoking blow and you started selling like ecstasy and blow at first, isn't that right? And then kind of you moved on to coke. And what were you doing by the age of 21?
Age of 21, I would have been quite starting to get heavily involved with drug scene and stuff like that. Yeah. And then ended up joining an organisation growing up in Northern Ireland. Or Northern Ireland, it's quite hard to stay away. Well, stay away from that sort of lifestyle. So ended up getting involved with that. And then it just got worse and worse. And then ended up in 2004. I was arrested and went into 2006 and done a prison sentence then. I've done a couple of wee bits and pieces of art then, but not very, very much. Then not really much of an interest and stuff.
Stephen, it says here that you were so deep in the gangster lifestyle at 21 that you used to go to bed with a bulletproof jacket on and a pistol under your pillow. It must have been quite scary that time for you. And you must have been quite anxious, lad, I would say.
Yeah. See, to be honest, looking back at it then, when you're in that sort of lifestyle, you don't really see anything different. No, so the office was just like normal day life, but there was a couple of shoots on and stuff like that, a lot of shoots and stuff like that. And then, so you just had to be really careful what where you were going.
Sure.
About your life and stuff. So, but back then, you didn't think it affected you. You didn't think it harmed you. But now, looking back, obviously, you're like, that's not a normal life to be living, though, by any means. So obviously, your head must have been a big impact on your mental health as well.
But I can imagine.
Unfortunately, when you're stuck in that world, unfortunately, you don't know. You don't realise. You think it's normal. You think it's your day-to-day life. So, and you just went on and then got fed up that lifestyle and ended up... after I got out of prison, just got deeper and deeper again in the first sentence. And then I got arrested again in 2011. So, and then that's when I realised it's just like, I got out in bail then for, and I was just like, I fed up with this lifestyle, fed up looking over my back, fed up with the whole thing, you know? So I decided when I go into prison this time, I was going to educate myself, so to, and just to try and better my chances of like getting a job or doing well.
So you did 2 years. You did 2 years first of all. Then you came out and unfortunately returned to the same lifestyle. And then you went back in again at 31. But you decided, I need to change something here. So how did you do that?
When I first went in, computers were starting to take off at that time. So I went in and I sort of saw it. Right, well, I don't have a clue about computers, so I'm going to have to start learning about computers and stuff. So I've done an IT course and I've done like basic math, basic English, things like that. And then I came across art. And then I'd done a wee bit of art in my cell. I was in 23-hour lockup and I drew there was a picture of a woman in the cell, typical prison cell. So I'd done a portrait of that. And then I started just doing wee bits and not just like mucking about just really. And then whenever I moved to McGilligan, I came across an art teacher, Alison, and she was absolutely amazing. I enrolled in art and then just started getting bigger and bigger into the art. And I didn't really have any, when I done a piece of work or something, I didn't really think it was that good. And it was like Alison, no saying how good it was and pushing. She was like the driving force behind it. So it was, but I know really, I didn't think anything of it, you know. So I just started drawing then and having stuff since.
Were you always interested in art? Like in, even in the times you were in school, was art one of your favourite subjects? Yeah. Was it something that you always kind of dabbled in a little bit?
I done a bit of art in school, so yeah. I did when I was growing up, and then actually fell out with my art teacher and from a GCSE because I wanted to do my own thing, where they were like, no, you have to do what's the curriculum, you have to do what knows on thing. So I wasn't allowed to be able to do my own idea, basically. Yeah. And then because of that, I sort of took off and just didn't do it. And then sort of just, and from then on, I just actually forgot about art and just, once I left school, obviously getting involved in that lifestyle and just running around like an agent, you didn't really, I just completely forgot. I actually forgot a good draw when I went back into prison. I actually forgot a good draw. And it wasn't until I started drawing again then that I picked it up again. And like I said, it's really good for your head too. See, when you're actually in prison and you have an awful lot of time in your hands, a lot of thinking and doing stuff like that. So when you're doing, if you can do like the art, creative writing, anything along that sort of basis, no, it's really good for taking your mind off life. This is just getting a wee release sort of thing, you know, to just get your head going into something, thinking about something else and just take your mind off things.
Would you say it got you through those days and months and years?
That's true, yeah. Especially, so after I got out of prison and enrolled in Bangor's Cirque, South Eastern Regional College, and I'd done a three full-time tech courses then. I'd done a foundation diploma in art and design.
Wow.
And then I'd done foundation diploma in photography, and then I'd done the HNC in photography. So then, and then went self-employed as an artist. And so my art was big, but I had two kids as well. So I was a friend full-time, so it wasn't. And then COVID came along, and then COVID put a real dampener on things, you know, for the art scene and the art world, but because I was dampener and everything, to be honest. But the art was really affected by it too, like, so.
It's amazing it's given you some purpose. Now, you are back in McGilligan Prison, but we have to mention, this time you're actually teaching art.
Yeah. So
that's incredible.
I started off, I don't know, thank you. I never sort of really imagined it myself, but whenever I was leaving prison, I always said if I could do for what Alison done for me for somebody else, it would be worthwhile doing. And I think it's right. You know, if somebody helps in that sort of way, it's right to give back. No one trying to give a wee bit back to people, other people who, if you can help them with your talent, I think it's right to do it. So that's what was always a main driving force for me too, was if I could be able to help somebody the way Alison helped me, that it would be worthwhile doing.
You've mentioned Alison three times now. Alison Wilson is her name. Was it because of her belief in you and you know, that connection that really helped you?
It's not even with me. Anybody who was in under Alison, anybody who she taught, or anybody, everybody has a high word to say about her. Like, no, she was just a lovely woman, so she was. But I worked with her. I was in an orderly in the art department, so I was working in there. So I was working 4 days a week. So obviously you ended up building a good relationship with her. And when you're in prison, you can't really talk to people or explain things to people, because people you think are your friends or people you know you can trust, you probably end up, if you tell them something, you know, like personal, it could be used against you, and quite often it would be. So it's very hard to talk to people.
Sure. And just lastly, you mentioned you have kids. Is it something that you'd like to instill in them, a love of art?
My eldest son Henry, he won an art prize in school. So,
wow.
So he's into his art, yeah. And then Bobby still 4, so there's plenty of time for him yet to take it up.
Well, I just want to say, I think it's phenomenal how you turned your life around, and it's great that you have this, you know, this love for art, and I hear you're pretty good at it as well. So I can't wait to see your exhibition in Dublin. That's what you need to do. I know that's a dream of yours. And thank you so much for coming on, and I wish you the very best of luck in everything you do.
No problem.
Thanks, Stephen. Bye-bye. There we go. That was artist and former prisoner Stephen Greer, who led a life of crime, but after discovering art in prison, decided to turn everything around. I find this story quite uplifting, because you do hear that, you know, prisoners who go into the system, you know, the prison system, they tend to go back to a life of crime. So it's lovely to hear that partaking in what's going on in the prison, getting involved, making the decision. It is possible. It is possible to do. But if you want to see more about his story, there's a documentary, Art Behind Bars, is currently on the BBC iPlayer. And it's going to be broadcast on BBC One Northern Ireland on Monday, the 30th of October at 10:40 p.m. Really interesting show, so make sure you don't miss that.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.